following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
I'm Brian Wallace, Navy Federal Credit Union member, and this bad boy is my Jayhawk helicopter. That's 1,560 horsepower engines. Of course, my daily ride's a bit more comfortable. Got it with a Navy Federal auto loan. Nice folks, great rate. Way easier to park.
4 million members, 4 million stories. Open to everyone in the armed forces, the DoD, and their families. Navy Federal Credit Union. Visit NavyFederal.org for details. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hi, Tom Baudette. It's never been easier to book a clean, comfortable room at Motel 6. You can book online at motel6.com, use our cool new app on your tablet or smartphone, or call 1-800-4-MOTEL-6 on your dumb phone. Sadly, you can't book by pigeon or Morse code, so if you want the lowest price of any national chain by telegraph, I guess you're just ... I'm Tom Baudette for Motel 6, and we'll leave the light on.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? ThinkMidway.com.
No, I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one.
Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to a Tuesday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda with you as we get ready for that annual tradition, Big Red Football. It's our Doug and Daddy Roundtable coming up in the next session and throughout the morning. Most of the show today will be for Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star, and Robin Washit of Husker Online to discuss Husker football, things that are surrounding the program. Pretty quiet as far as anything crazy going on out there. And I think a lot of people, and maybe you agreeing, that the offense supposed to be outstanding. The defense, holes. What do we have in special teams? Do we have a kicker after Brett Maher and Alex Henry have been so solid the past number of years? Sam Foltz taking over most likely as the punter. Well, where will the position battles be? Who will emerge? And can Taylor Martinez carry this football team? And will he have to carry this football team? He should be the leader, obviously, but with Amir Abdullah and so many great players on the offensive side of the football, will it all rest on his shoulders? We'll talk about that with all the guys on our roundtable today. Folks, let's take a look at our Midtown Mark Cooler question to get us going today. We'll talk about some of the other sports of the day in just a little bit as well. But our Midtown Mark Cooler question yesterday, which team other than Ohio State is your favorite to win the Leaders Division? Well, Wisconsin, Penn State, those are the 1-2 in most polls, and that's how you have it. 50% say Wisconsin, 42% of you think Penn State's got a little bit left in them for one more year before the suspensions and all of the violations and everything that they have to deal with will take a hold on them. That's kind of what I think. I think Penn State's got one more year left in them. And after talking with Tom Mulhern of Wisconsin yesterday in the Wisconsin State Journal, I think they're going to be just fine as well. So it should be an interesting battle as that division second place could come down to that game at the end of the year. But wow, let's talk Ohio State in a minute. Action more disrespectful to Major League Baseball. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question today. Ryan Braun taking the PEDs and then lying about them, of course now suspended for the rest of the year, or Pete Rose betting on baseball. Which action more disrespectful to Major League Baseball? See, Ryan Braun cheated. That's what he did. Ryan Braun cheated. He broke the on-field rules. Pete Rose did not break the on-field rules. Now, it's never been said or implied, really, or no one said it for Major League Baseball, and Pete Rose never admitted to fixing baseball games so that he could win. He always bet on his team or somebody else that he had nothing to do with. I'm going to say Ryan Braun taking the PEDs more disrespectful to Major League Baseball, but that's why we have the poll question. What do you think? Vote now on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. You can do that anytime at ESPNSuperstation.com, ESPNSuperstation.com. But Ohio State, as we get ready to go to Chicago today, and we'll be there live Wednesday and Thursday for Big Ten Media Days, all of a sudden, we have a story. It was going to be fairly quiet. Remember last year, all the new coaches headlined by Urban Meyer, Ohio State with the sanctions, Penn State coming in after the hammer was just dropped on them at about this time last year. It was a circus in Chicago last year and expected to be a little quieter, but now one of the three players that was supposed to come to Chicago, Bradley Roby, the senior corner, is not coming. He was involved in a legal issue this weekend and could face additional discipline. Urban Meyer also has a release yesterday that says their stud running back, Carlos Hyde, got in trouble over the weekend. He has been suspended indefinitely, pending the outcome of the student code of conduct and criminal investigation. You read between the lines there. If Carlos Hyde is guilty, he's gone. If for some reason he was in the wrong place at the wrong time and was not really involved in this, then I'm sure he'll be welcomed back to the team with open arms. That seems to be pretty cut and dry from what Urban Meyer says in his statement here. Also, two freshmen who were involved in legal issues in the past week, tight end Marcus Baugh and defensive lineman Tim Gardner, have received some disciplinary actions. Baugh's been removed from the team and will sit out the first game of the season. Gardner's been sent home altogether and will not be a part of the team. He was charged with obstruction of official business, so must have been a heck of a party Saturday in Columbus, Ohio, and they didn't even have cruise night going on, so I don't know what's going on there. Ohio State, a bad time to be getting in trouble when you have to come right in front of all the folks at Big Ten Media Days, and that's exactly what will be going on Wednesday and Thursday, and Urban Meyer will have more people around him than anybody else. It won't be Johnny Manziel-esque, but it will be proportionately Urban Meyer getting all of the attention, and that's probably going to suit Bo Pelini and Brady Hoke and all the other coaches just fine. Give Urban the attention. Leave us alone. We'll talk in a little bit more quiet manner with some of our media folks, and I'm sure they are loving Ohio State getting the attention, whether it's positive attention or negative attention, because Ohio State picked to be in the national championship game by almost everybody. Alabama, Ohio State, I can't remember a time when it's been such an overwhelming majority, but as history tells us, the odds of that happening are basically 0% that both of those teams will make it into the national championship game. Which team won't make it? I got a funny feeling that maybe neither will. I mean, Alabama to continue that run in the SEC, you would have to think that's almost impossible for a team to win the toughest division and toughest league in football three consecutive years and then go on and play for the national championship. Of course, yes, they lost to LSU a couple years ago and still went on and won it all. But your thoughts, give us an email, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. You can also Facebook us at ESPN Superstation, and you can tweet us at ESPN 1460 and 1550. Before we get into the Husker Roundtable here, do want to take a look at the rest of the day's sports, and then we'll jump into what's going on with Mike Babcock, Steve Sippel, and Robin Washit as we get them hooked up here in just a little bit. Tri-City Storm has announced their schedule for the upcoming season, and you better love them early because, in a rarity, most of their home games are early on. I remember for years seeing them go on the road for 9 of the first 11 or something crazy like that. Well, 6 of the first 7 and 9 of the first 13 games for the Storm this year will be at home, beginning Saturday, September the 28th against Lincoln. They'll face the Stars 8 times and Omaha 9 times this year. And if you love weekend hockey, the Storm is trying to accommodate 27 of their 30 home games will be on either Friday or Saturday. They have just one home game in the weekday, and that's a Wednesday, October 30th matchup against Waterloo. And they have Sunday games in March against Fargo and Green Bay. You can go to stormhockey.com to see the entire schedule, and the times and preseason schedule are still to be announced. Now, after those first 13 games where the Storm play 9 of 13 at home, then they do go on the road, 9 of 11 on the road from mid-November to mid-December. Don't forget, Storm hockey again this year can be heard on The Breeze 94.5 FM. Nebraska Coaches Association All-Star Basketball games played last night. Some record-setting performances in the girls' game. Annie Wolf, who's coming to UNK for volleyball, made 6 three-pointers to break the former record of Kate J.K. Hauser, who, of course, is at Purdue. A 98-49 win for the blue team. Jason Boyd of Kearney was a coach on that squad. Michaela Shaw of Sandy Creek scored 10. Mackenzie Scoop of Silver Lake had 8. And Kelsey Weimers of Kearney also on the victorious team. Theron Baum from Kearney Catholic had a bucket in the red effort. On the boys' side, Reds came up 4 points of breaking the all-time scoring record, 112-85. On the blue team, Austin Rath of Sutton had 7. Alex Larson of Northwest also competing. Tonight, it is the volleyball matchup with some of the state's best playing at 7 o'clock, Lincoln North Star, and the match is on Nebraska Educational Television. Brad Nelson of Axtell and Darcy White of Exeter Milligan are coaching the red team. Katie Higgins of Kearney, Michaela Mestel of Kearney Catholic, and Nikki Carson of Ward are on that squad. On the blue team, Diane Rose of Granada Northwest and Lisa Mason of Bertrand are coaching. Kearney Catholics Bailey Sokolowski and Grand Island Northwest Morgan Westfall will be competing. And we're winding down area baseball tournaments, and we're down to the semifinals in the junior state tournaments. Class B junior state tournament saw Cozad rally to beat Albion 11-7 yesterday. They've got Roncalli in an elimination game this afternoon at 5. And in the Class C at Wakefield, it was Geneva eliminating Palmer Wallback Greeley 10-9. Tekema Herman beat Wakefield 7-5. And Louisville shut out Shelton Gibbon 10-0. So today, Shelton Gibbon will play Tekema Herman in an elimination game at 5:30. And Louisville will play Geneva in the other game at 8. Shelton Gibbon win would put them into the final day of the tournament tomorrow. Hastings beat North Platte. Johnson Imperial a 14-2 win last night. And they get that rematch with Kearney Post 52. Everyone was pretty sure that Kearney and Hastings were the two best teams in this A7 junior that's going on at Memorial Field here in Kearney, but they matched up in that first round. They went 10 innings, a one-run game, and Hastings has battled their way back through. They need to beat Kearney twice tonight to head to state, but don't think that that can happen. They had the regular season series advantage before Kearney clipped them in the first game of this tournament. So the first game's at 5:30. The second game would immediately follow, and that's tonight at Memorial Field in Kearney. Kearney runs a rally to beat Scottsbluff Gary 8-4 to win the A7 senior title yesterday, and that means Runza, Brad Archer, and his crew back to state. And, of course, now there are two state tournaments for Class A seniors. They head to Lincoln Saturday at 4. They will play the Area 2 runner-up in their first contest. And it looks like a decent draw if they can move on through. We'll see how that works out for Coach Archer and his crew as they begin on Saturday. Now let's take a look at what else is going on. The A6 juniors last night, Grand Island 5 points, gave Columbus their first loss 11-1. So they're in the finals tonight in South Sioux City. They'll play the winner of the Grand Island Tom Dinsdale and Columbus game. The A6 seniors, Home Federal beat Columbus 7-5. So now they're in the finals. They'll play the second game tonight against either Columbus or South Sioux City. The rest are all finals in the Class B and C seniors. B5 last night at Aurora, Wayne eliminated Albion 8-7. They play Aurora tonight, needing to win twice. McCook is the undefeated team at Holdridge. Holdridge beat Gothenburg 16-8, so Holdridge will have to beat them twice. McCook just clipped Holdridge in the winner's bracket final 11-10 over the weekend. C5, Sutton continues to roll along. They thump Tri-County 14-0. Davenport Edgar beat Hebron 6-0, so they'll play in the finals tonight. The C6 at St. Paul, Palmer Wallback Greeley eliminated Dannebrog Carabola 7-0, and St. Paul has advanced on to the finals to play them. And at Overton tonight, it'll be David City taking on Alma for the C7 senior championship. And that catches you up to date on what's going on in the area world of sports with basketball, volleyball, baseball, and all that is going on. Folks, remember, with lunch coming up, they've got a lunch special for you every single day at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. Tuesday, $1 off any of their salads. There are so many to choose from on a warm day. Cool off, refresh yourself with a salad today. Maybe the tangy Southwest chicken wrap or the melt-in-your-mouth Southwest steak wrap available for you 7 days a week. And if you don't want any of those, there's so much on the menu to choose from. Chicken tender hoagie, pizza, you can get the wings, you can get a salad, as we said, off on today, get a great burger. And just check out their menu for something new today at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. And every Tuesday night is Wing Basket Night. Get a basket full of 10 wings. Get your flavor on them for only $5 at the Chicken Coop in Kearney and Grand Island. We will be back to start our Big Red Roundtable with Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, and Robin Washett here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Stay with us. Round up your team for the annual Coors Miller four-person golf scramble, August 3rd and 4th at the Kearney Country Club. Your entry fee gets you golf on Saturday and Sunday, carts, steak dinner, Calcutta, complimentary drinks, and more. There's also a Friday night shootout and practice round available. Shotgun start on Saturday at 8 or 1:30, so register for your tee time today with the final Sunday at 10 a.m. It's the annual four-person Coors Miller golf scramble, Saturday, August 3rd, Sunday, August 4th at the Kearney Country Club.
Life moves fast, and you're a busy person, which means you don't have time for the problems a low credit score creates. So let's cut to the chase. A low credit score can be a serious drag. Whether it's disqualifying you for a line of credit or keeping your interest rates high, it can be incredibly frustrating. But at CreditRepair.com, we totally get it. With 15 years of experience helping people find solutions to their credit issues, we work with both your creditors and the credit bureaus to improve your credit score. Although your results may vary, our past customers have seen an average of 11 negative deletions from their credit reports in just 4 months. So call us at 800-594-5407.
CreditRepair.com went in, did their job, and I sat back. My goal is perfect credit, and I'm on my way.
Call CreditRepair.com at 800-594-5407 and let us get busy fixing your credit. Call 800-594-5407. 800-594-5407.
Some partial sun develops today as we'll see a few isolated showers and storms around, as well as high temperatures around 82 are expected with northeast winds 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 58. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 73.
It's that time, 12 teams in 12 days, leading you up to Big Ten Media Days July 24th and 25th in Chicago. We'll preview a different team each day. We'll head to the Legends Division for today's team.
Nebraska.
The Cornhuskers.
It's time for 12 teams in 12 days now on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Well, on this day before Big Ten Media Days, 12 teams in 12 days always culminates with Nebraska football talk, and we are pleased to welcome in more of the esteemed media of the state of Nebraska, Steve Sipple from the Lincoln Journal-Star, Mike Babcock from Hale Varsity, and Robin Washett has his first seat at our Doug and Daddy Roundtable because we welcomed in a new member of the Husker Online family with Sean Callahan. And Robin, is he already a three-star? Or she?
Well, you know,
she already a three-star?
She's considered about ranks about a 5.7 on the Rivals ranking right now, but lots of potential.
Well, congratulations to John and Lisa with the new addition to their family. Let's talk a little Husker football before we get to the X's and O's. Mike, being the historian, I want to ask you, because it continues to get big play, and I'm sure it'll get big play here the next couple of days at Media Days. Are you surprised, and can you remember an instance as big as the Jack Hoffman story has been with the Husker football program? And I know that there's so many things you could go to, but it's so unique. You ever remember the program getting so much pub out of what at the time seemed just like one really great gesture?
Well, Doug, no, I don't. I would have to qualify that a little bit because I think in the internet age with Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and really instant communications, everything gets magnified. Now, you know, this is a significant event, obviously, but people have an opportunity around the world to hear about this, to see it, and I think it makes magnification. Makes that question an easy answer. No, I don't think so. Even though, as you go back, you might say things that draw attention to the program in different ways, but certainly in a positive direction. That was such a great thing. The event itself, you know, beyond the attention that Nebraska got, I think just the Jack Hoffman thing is very significant. I hope people appreciate exactly what he's dealing with and what this means.
Sip is always as close to Bo and Coach Pelini as anybody. Sip, any idea how many requests that the program gets for a variety of things per day, per year? Has Bo ever talked to you about that at all?
What are you talking about?
Well, I know that, you know, they always have somebody from the outside that wants to get a football or have a special case, and the Hoffman is outstanding. But how much of that is his time involved with, do you think?
Well, I don't know exactly.
And I haven't ever talked to him about that. I've never asked him about that. It's an interesting question, though. But I would hope, you know, I don't know. I don't know how head coach, probably head coaches all handle that a little differently. Staff can take care of some of it. I don't think you want to occupy the head coach's time with too much of that, but inevitably there's going to be some. But I, you know what, Doug, I've never asked him about it.
Robin Washut, we'll find out all kinds of questions get asked at Media Day, and we'll see questions from the kids that probably were dismissed from the team that never saw it down to recruiting to all kinds of things. What do you think was the most significant off-season story for Nebraska?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously the off the field incidents, you know, took up quite a bit of storylines there. For the reason of the side of the ball they were on, you know, I mean, those are two positions where Nebraska, you know, definitely didn't have the luxury of depth, and now you take away two guys that were, you know, anticipated to play a big role in some aspect at both of the linebacker and defensive line positions. You take them out of the mix now because of that, and then you know you got to. You know, take that a little bit step further and just kind of, you know, wonder kind of what the chemistry of the team's like. And, you know, I mean, if guys are getting in off-season brawls and kind of what that means as far as the, you know, the cohesiveness in the locker room. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that spawn off of that. And I think just as far as, the, you know, the biggest piece of news to come out of the off-season, I think that's the first thing that comes to mind for me.
Mike Babcock of Hail Varsity, Steve Sippel, Lincoln Journal Star, Robin Washut of Husker Online joining us here. I'll ask you guys the same question. Mike, what do you think was the biggest story going into this offseason and going into fall camp?
Well, you know, to some degree, I got to agree with Robin. I mean, from the standpoint of chemistry, I think that's really the thing that would give me pause to have an incident like that, maybe even more so than the players involved, just the fact that it occurred and it was on defense, and defense is a concern obviously going into the season based on what happened last year, and then to have that kind of thing, I think chemistry, as Robin said, is the key thing in the off season, and you don't really get a good sense of that, and obviously the coaches don't work directly with the players in the off season programs and so forth. And so I think that's probably the thing that would give me a pause in looking at what's happened.
Sip, any other storyline that has your eyes open going into fall?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, there's a lot of, I mean, mainly on defense, and it relates to, you know, the biggest story of the offseason, which is you guys have established was the off-field incident. And mainly the disappointment, in my opinion, was kind of the rapid rise and demise of Thomas Brown. I mean, there was a lot of, I was very high on him. He really thought that Thomas Brown had a lot of upside, had a lot of potential. Now that was, you know, that was in December, in January, during our discussions. You know, it got tempered pretty fast, I thought, in the spring. And then I think he had an incident right after the spring game, and then this. It just, you know, Thomas Brown, I see it as an unfortunate thing. I do think he has a lot of talent. But he's not going to realize that talent in Nebraska. Hopefully he'll realize it somewhere else.
Talking with Steve Sippel, Robin Washut, Mike Babcock here on the Doug and Daddy Show, ESPN Radio's annual roundtable. We like to do one before the season and after the season. Sip, it seems like the biggest question mark is obviously this defense. Some people think it's going to be porous. Some people think that there were a lot of good guys waiting in the wings to get their chance. What do you think? Some people think it's going to be a disaster. Some people think, like Phil Steele told us, I don't think it's going to be that bad. And if you look at the three stars, four stars that Robin can probably fill us in on, where do you think this defense is on paper going into this season?
I just think if I don't think it's going to be a disaster. I think they got enough guys that it won't be a disaster, but I don't see how it's going to be anywhere near a great defense. I suspect they'll have a lot of issues pretty much all season. You can't have a front seven with that much inexperience and youth and inexperience and not have bumps in the road. game, the Big Ten's tough. It's not a great league, but there's a lot of veteran players. And Nebraska, you know, you look at their front seven, and I don't know. I mean, there's pretty much only three guys who have significant playing time, and none of those three are, you know, none of them are all Big Ten type players. So that's where, you know, we're talking about Anchor, we're talking about Randall, we're talking about the linebacker Santos. You know, I don't think they have a ton of talent. I think they have some speed and athleticism, but they don't have a lot of talent. They don't have a lot of experience in the front seven. So I think an offense, for instance, like Northwestern, is capable of inflicting some major damage. I don't think Michigan is. I don't think Michigan's offense is all that dynamic. But there's some off UCLA. UCLA is going to do some major damage. I can almost guarantee it. But on the other hand, Nebraska doesn't play a lot of teams with great offense. So that's why I think fans can be pretty optimistic.
Mike, what would happen if Nebraska doesn't get off to the start, the good start that everybody expects that they will?
Well, you know, looking at the schedule, I think it would be really a head-scratcher if Nebraska didn't get off to a pretty good start. I mean, Wyoming, Southern Mississippi, South Dakota State, and I'm bypassing UCLA there because, as Sip said, that offense probably is going to give Nebraska some problems defensively, but you look at the way Nebraska opens the Big Ten with Illinois, Purdue, Minnesota. I mean, you're going to build up some momentum there, even if you struggle with against UCLA. I don't know that there's any other way to expect Nebraska to start off the season with some pretty good momentum. So, from that standpoint, I would be shocked if Nebraska doesn't start off pretty strong. Just given the schedule and the offensive potential, because even if the defense is having some problems, that offense should be able to pick up some slack. I mean, it's pretty good a pretty good offense that you're dealing with, and when you start comparing it, you know, it's 30 years ago that the scoring explosion. You know, that defense wasn't very good either statistically. It came up big in a couple of games when it had to, but when you've got that kind of offense that could put up those numbers, that helps your young defense to some extent. So a roundabout way of answering your question, but I would be shocked if Nebraska doesn't get off to a pretty good start.
We've talked about it a couple of times. Michigan and Michigan State have to both get by Notre Dame, but if you look at the first eight games for both of them and Nebraska and Ohio State, I think outside of those, they're going to be favored in all the games, a chance for them all to get off to an 8-0 start, which would really make it exciting in the month of November. Hey, Robin, let me ask you about this. Sip kind of touched on a little bit. Of all the new faces on Nebraska's defense, who do you think is going to really come out, be that spark, and have his name talked about by Nebraska fans in the month of September?
Well, I think you got to look at, you know, someone in the front seven and, you know, a guy that, I think a lot of people were pretty high on going in spring with a guy like Randy Gregory, the defensive end spot. There's definitely a neat position and a guy that can be explosive there and make an instant impact. I think that he kind of fits that bill to a T. I think you could pretty much name a few guys on that defensive line that you could say the exact same thing about just because Jason Anchor is the only guy that you really know what they bring to the table. And so it's going to be interesting to kind of see which one of those new faces. I'm sorry, did I say Randy Gregory? I meant Greg McMullen.
Yeah, Greg McMullen, freshman defensive end coming in there. Same, we got what you were talking about there, but if, go ahead
and
continue.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just another instance of there's a lot of guys that can come in and make that immediate impact. So I think you just look at that defensive line spot, and I think that they're going to have to rely on some of those newcomers to come in and make instant impacts right away if they're going to have any sort of success on that front four.
Robin Walshett, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show with our Husker Roundtable. We'll continue on here in just a moment, but don't forget, as we get ready to head to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, Mike Will and myself will be looking good with the help of Gary Michaels Clothier, providing you with the finest menswear from Lincoln to Denver, the official clothier of the Doug and Daddy Show. They make us look good. They're definitely going to make you look good. And don't forget to stop in today to beat the summer heat during their summer sale. Now through the end of July, get 25% off all summer sportswear for guys and gals, including Tommy Bahama, Forsyth, and Cutter and Buck. And for the career guys, 25% off all summer suits and sports coats. But the sale ends July 31st, so don't wait. Head over to Gary Michaels Clothiers, downtown Hastings today. They're open late on Thursday and Saturday till 4. We'll continue on. We've got Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. Andy from Midway is going to drop by, and we will have more of the Husker Roundtable with Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, and Robin Washington right after this.
There we were, me and my buddies at our favorite hangout, Cunningham's Journal. This time, we're sitting out in the courtyard, which is pretty cool. It's like you're sitting out in the tropics, got the palm trees, beachy scene, bunch of TVs to watch sports, and of course, live entertainment every week. When all of a sudden, I had an urge to get a frozen margarita. Of course, my friends just laughed. If you're looking for a good place to hang out this summer, eat good food, or even have a margarita, Cunningham's Journal in the courtyard is the place to be in downtown Kearney.
Life moves fast, and you're a busy person, which means you don't have time for the problems a low credit score creates. So let's cut to the chase. A low credit score can be a serious drag. Whether it's disqualifying you for a line of credit or keeping your interest rates high, it can be incredibly frustrating. But at CreditRepair.com, we totally get it. With 15 years of experience helping people find solutions to their credit issues, we work with both your creditors and the credit bureaus to improve your credit score. Although your results may vary, our past customers have seen an average of 11 negative deletions from their credit reports in just 4 months. So call us at 800-594-5407.
CreditRepair.com went in, did their job, and I sat back. My goal is perfect credit, and I'm on my way.
Call CreditRepair.com at 800-594-5407 and let us get busy fixing your credit. Call 800-594-5407. 800-594-5407.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney, no health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Some partial sun develops today as we'll see a few isolated showers and storms around as well, as high temperatures around 82 are expected with northeast winds 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 58. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 73.
Talking with Robin Washit of Husker Online. We're talking with Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, and Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity. Sip, everybody's just got this foregone conclusion that this is going to be just an incredible offense, which it should be with Taylor as good a quarterback as we've seen maybe since Crouch or even after or even before him. Is there any concern somewhere on the offense that fans need to know about going into the fall?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that when if Nebraska, you got to look down the schedule and see. If they come up against good, for instance, dynamic defensive ends, you know, Nebraska struggled with that. Nebraska's tackles haven't always held up well. So, you have guys buzzing around Taylor's head, And Taylor's been, you know, Taylor's fumble prone. I mean, it's, there's no doubt about it. And he's a bit interception prone, although he's improved that. You know, Northwestern will come at Nebraska with a good defensive end in Tyler Scott. I don't know, you know, as you look down the schedule, you're not going to see a lot of that. Michigan State will certainly come at Nebraska with a good rush in. Penn State has an excellent defensive end. So it that's the thing I would, you know, nitpicking a little bit at that point. But, you know, when you talk about trying to win a championship and then trying to win a bowl game, a major bowl game, that's when that becomes significant, as we've seen. I mean, that issue doesn't always crop up, but we sure have seen it crop up, for instance, against South Carolina, and then we sure saw it against Georgia, teams that had a lot of speed and athleticism on the edge. Makes it very difficult for Taylor.
Let's take it to the special teams here, because some people poo-poo that, and then you looked that there were six games last year for just Nebraska that kicking, extra points, field goals were important in the way they come down to. Nebraska probably doesn't make a couple of those comebacks if there's a couple of missed field goals by Maher. We will see an inexperienced and a kicker that we just don't know anything about. Does Pat Smith, Robin, have a chance, or is it going to be Mario Bonde, or are they still in competition?
Well, you know, I think Bonde was the favorite coming out of spring, but you know, I think once fall camp starts and Pat Smith joins the mix, you basically start that competition all over again. I mean, you're looking at a guy that was the, you know, team captain at Western Illinois, and you know, was considered one of the best kickers at the, I guess you call it FCS level. You know, and I think he's, you know, definitely fully capable of coming in and competing for that job right away. You know, obviously you kind of got to wait and see if you know, he lives up to the hype at all. But you know, I think he's definitely capable, because I don't think Bondi, you know, necessarily, you know, he beat the competition outright. But you know, I think that he was far from locking down that spot going into fall by any means.
Nice article on Husker Extra in the Big Red blog on the Journal Star about five questions for the Huskers going into Big Ten Media Days. And one of those, Mike Babcock, is Bo Pelini deciding to name team captains for the season. You've seen it both ways in your numerous years covering the Huskers. Do you get a vibe why a coach goes one way or another, and does it make a difference?
You know, I don't... I got to admit, I don't really have a good sense of why Bo decided to do it that way this year compared to what he's done in the past. You know, I've been doing this a long time, so I get locked into my expectations of how things should be done. And I think it's better if you have captains identified at the beginning of the season. Now, if you wanted to have a fluid situation, you could have three or four permanent captains and an additional guy every week, you know, the way Nebraska's done it at times in the past. But I really think that that's important to identify guys, and so they can have some responsibility, really, in this situation in the off season again. And we were talking about chemistry earlier. I think from that standpoint, it's probably pretty important. You know, as to why Bo chose to do it this way, I don't have a good answer for that. But in the context of Nebraska football, as I've known it, it seems like that's probably the best way to go, and that the guys would be seniors. I know Bill Callahan tried it with some underclassmen. I don't know that worked all that well. But seniors and identifying at the beginning always seem like the way to go for me.
Sip, we've talked about chemistry among the players. This should be the best chemistry the coaching staff has had in Bo's 6 years, shouldn't it?
I think so. I mean, you know, you got some carryover, which they haven't always had. And, you know, I think the big thing is the offense. I mean, having Tim Beck now, that system is ingrained in the veterans. You know what? The veterans are really confident with the system. That helps a ton. Now, and, you know, the coaches, too, because if you remember when you're right, Doug, because when they went to this new offense, really, and Beck didn't admit this until after the Capital One Bowl loss to South Carolina, but he said, you know, a lot of the issues Nebraska had on offense in that first year in the system were because the coaches were learning, you know. I mean, the coaches under Tim had to learn as they went, too. And they did, you know, so what it came down to was it was mostly Tim running the show because the other guys weren't even necessarily always confident with their suggestions or they weren't confident enough to make suggestions. So there was a lot on Tim, and so what happens is this, you know, some stability, I think, really benefits him and benefits the offense. Also, same thing on defense, too. But, yeah, I think having some stability and carryover, I do believe that that is important in any program.
Quarterback position, Taylor is there, and Robin, coaching staff has brought in some really good recruits. I want to ask everybody here a little bit about the local kids here in our listening area. But will Riker Fife or Tyson Brockmeyer ever take a varsity snap in Lincoln at the quarterback position?
You know, it's as much as you'd like to say that they have a chance, I think it's going to be extremely difficult for them ever to, you know, see the field in a meaningful situation, just because of the depth they have in front of them. You know, obviously, unless Taylor gets hurt, there's nobody going to play outside of mop-up duty this year. And then you got Tommy Armstrong, Johnny Stanton coming in behind him. I find it really hard to think that, you know, anyone but those two, you know, will you know, manage the offense unless they bring in an even higher profile quarterback over the next couple years. So, unfortunately, I think that there'll be great additions, you know, for as far as giving good looks on the scout team. But as far as being live actual game snaps, I don't think they have much of a chance.
Sip, what about a couple of backups? Andrew Rodriguez has done some things starting and non-starting. Zach Stirrup looks like he's matured as a person. I don't know how much on the football field. And then it looks like Sam Foltz of Grand Island is going to get to be the punter. But what about Rodriguez and Stirrup and what you see from them this year?
Well, I mean, Andrew is going to have to fight off at least one JUCO. I mean, I think Matt Finnan is a guy that can come in from the JUCO ranks and make an immediate impression at tackle where Andrew will play. I think, of course, Andrew can play guard, but I think Nebraska's pretty set at guard. So you're looking at, you know, Andrew's going to have to battle. He's going to have to battle to play. Jeremiah Searles is a senior who's pretty entrenched. Brent Qualley is a senior who's played a lot. Stirrup will probably have to wait a little bit more. I mean, there's just many veterans in front of him, including Rodriguez. I think Rodriguez has to be a contributor, and it would really help. You know what? It would really help Nebraska at that position if he would get to the level that I know Pelini thought that he would. I mean, when they recruited him, that was one of the guys that I know. I remember distinctly Pelini driving back from Aurora and talking about Rodriguez for about 40 minutes. So I know he thought that he was probably an all-Big Ten caliber player when they recruited him. He was very excited about it. Now, if he could make that jump, and I'm not saying he's going to be an all-conference guy, but if he could take his game to a new level, that would obviously help. But he's got his work cut out to be a starter and to play a lot.
Well, let's get some general questions, just some overall thoughts from our three guests on the Husker Roundtable of Robin Washit, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock. Mike, we've got media days. Everybody is going to be listening or be there. What's the one question that you want to ask Bo Pelini or even one of the three guys like Taylor Martinez who will have more media coverage than he's ever really had, at least answering questions? Is there one question that you really want answered this week?
I'm going to cop out on this. No, there isn't. It's the nature of those things. It's really difficult to say this is a question that needs to be asked and how is the guy going to respond. You get some good things from coaches and players at these events when it's in a more informal situation. You know, maybe when they're up front, it seems like everybody, it's pretty much the same. You know, some coaches have more players coming back or whatever, and so they can talk about those kinds of things. But in a general context, I don't really have a good question that I would want to ask any of those people. It's in the more one-on-one or, you know, smaller group kind of things where you'll get some insight into a coach or player. And I, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, Taylor Martinez, he's done this stuff so much now that he's getting to the point where he can kind of go on autopilot there a little bit and say some things the way they're supposed to be said. But you know, to me, I guess if I had a question to ask Taylor, for example, it would have something to do with the fact that you know, 4 years. I mean, here's a guy that's been the man for. This will be his fourth season that he's done this. Not very many quarterbacks at Nebraska have had that opportunity, and how that, you know, how he thinks substantially he's a different player now than he was when he started, because he's such a risk reward type guy.
Sip, it hardly seems that Martinez is ready to play his last season. Do you think there was a lot of room for improvement from last year to this year, and do you think You think he's satisfied? What are you hearing about Taylor and how much better he'll be this year?
Well, I mean, I think he'll take another step up because he's determined to. Taylor is a good enough athlete. He's just an elite level athlete. And if he puts his mind to it, he's going to be able to do a lot of different things. But with Taylor, really, I mean, he's been very, very good. Except for the turnover issue. I mean, we're talking about losing 8 fumbles last year. He tossed 12 interceptions. That's 20 turnovers. He lost 8 last year, but the fumble interception issue is where he's got to improve. And really, I think for Nebraska to take that, you know, proverbial quote-unquote next step, that's what you got to do. Is you got to improve in that area, the turnover ratio area. And I kind of like to know what Taylor thinks of that. How you even go about improving it? I don't know how. And here's the thing, though. And this is, I got to say this because I think in this discussion it has to be said. It's not all on Taylor. A lot of it is because of how they use it. He handles the ball so much, and so much is expected. And you're handling the ball in difficult situations. They, you know, he does take a lot of chances. They run that zone read where, you know, it's a challenging situation in terms of ball control. There's been some pressure on Taylor in the pocket, which isn't all his fault. So. That's the area, and that's what I'd wonder about on offense, how they're going to do. You know, they can't put it on the ground as much as they have and expect to win a championship of any sort.
No doubt about it, Sip. Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Mike Babcock, Hail Varsity, Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com. Going to take another break here and back with our final segment of the Husker Roundtable in just a moment. But Andy from Midway stopping by. It is a busy week. Andy from Midway with us here in the middle of our Husker discussion, our Husker Roundtable. And, of course, then we're going to be chatting with him while we're in Chicago. It's a very busy week, not only for us at Big Ten Media Days and getting ready for the football season, but you guys are keeping busy, coming right off a cruise night and going in to the Buffalo County Fair, which obviously you guys have been a big partner with here.
Yeah, we have the 100th annual Buffalo County Fair, brought to you in part by Midway Auto Dealerships. It's a great thing that's going on. We feel very honored to be able to just be very involved with the whole deal. We're going to have about 15 to 20 different vehicles sitting out there. There's going to be a plethora of wonderful concerts, Newsboys to CCR to Kip Moore, Jake Owens, all these guys. So that's going to be absolutely fun. Just be a good opportunity to get the whole family out. Now, during all this, we're actually having our Midway Summer Clearance event. What that is we actually have any vehicles that were here about 90 days ago, and we had that light little hail come through. Most of them have actually been fixed. A couple of them that had very minor cosmetic damage haven't been fixed, but we have those all just completely priced to move. And then to top it off, we're going to give you a $500 Visa debit card. So we're basically paying you to buy a car that we're selling too cheap. So if anybody hasn't experienced the Midway hassle-free philosophy, get on down there to Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram or Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac this week and just come down and try us out. Kind of see how we do business. I think you're going to be impressed. And trust me, the deals are fantastic. Everything's going great. But yeah, we have the 100th annual Buffalo County Fair brought to you in part by Midway Auto Dealerships. You have the Midway Summer summer clearance event going on at the Chevy store and the Chrysler store, and there's a lot of fun stuff going on. Just get on down there and give us a shot.
And you guys always have some great vehicles out at the fairgrounds that people will get to see and find out about.
Yeah, no, that's going to be really exciting, too. We're actually, we moved them out earlier in the week on Monday. We're actually putting vehicles out there. We got 15 to 20 of them, brand new 2014 Chevy Silverado, just Cadillacs, Buicks, Jeeps, Chryslers, Dodge, Rams. We got this really cool. I think it's going to be the hit of the whole deal. We got a two-door Jeep Wrangler. It's actually got huge aftermarket wheels and tires. We put a lift kit on it, black on black. I mean, the thing is just absolutely sexy. You need to get on down there. We're going to have everything live out there. It's going to be a heck of a time.
You get to drive that?
Actually, what's funny is they've all seen me drive my Jeep Grand Cherokee, and they said this thing sits way too high for how fast I drive and take corners, so they're not letting me at this point.
Well, Andy, we'll get back to talking some Husker football here. We appreciate you dropping by and enjoy the fair this week.
Will do. Thanks.
The Midway Auto Dealerships, thinkmidway.com, where you can still get signed up for their Husker season football tickets that they'll be giving away in August. Midway Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Midway Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. We're back with more of our Husker Roundtable on the Duggan Daddy Show right after this.
The Braves are sitting high atop the National League East, while the Cardinals lead the way in the National League Central. And this weekend, they go head-to-head in Atlanta.
To second, out at second. Oh, what a play.
Baseball's best road team versus one of the league's best home teams. Something's gotta give.
See you later. Home run, Yadier Molina.
It's the Cardinals and the Braves, Saturday and Sunday on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Progressive presents Flo's newest jam. Bundling will make you feel like the mayor of Savingsville.
Bundle your home and auto together, and you'll feel like the mayor of Savingsville. Yes, you will. A town famous for the world's biggest puppy.
Bundle your home and auto together and save. Visit Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Home insurance underwritten by Homesite Group, Boston Mass, and other non-affiliated companies. Available in most states.
Fram knows there are smooth roads, dirt roads, roads less traveled, and roads begging to be driven. Fram knows there are fast drivers, cautious drivers, drivers with a destination,
turn right ahead,
and drivers who are lost. That's why, no matter what you drive, no matter how you drive, no matter what oil you use, there's a Fram oil filter that helps keep your engine healthier longer. Find your Fram oil filter at your local automotive.
Some partial sun develops today as we'll see a few isolated showers and storms around, as well as high temperatures around 82 are expected with northeast winds 10 to 20. Tonight we'll head back to a low of 58. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 73.
Doug and Daddy Show rolling on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. We'll head into our last segment of the Husker Roundtable here in just a moment. But folks, don't forget that the Kearney Little Leaguers are headed back to Indianapolis August 2nd through the 9th for the Midwest Regionals, trying to make it back to Williamsport. And the boys and their families will be working this week to raise funds to help with the travel and team expenses to Indianapolis. Here's some items you can put on your calendar. If you can get a chance, stop by on Wednesday. Tomorrow, the kids will be at Little Caesars Pizza from 5 until 8. Stop by, eat some pizza, meet the kids, and drop off your donations. Then Friday, they will have their hot dog and brisket sandwich stand at the Apple Market parking lot in downtown Kearney from 11 to 1. It includes chips and pop for a free will donation. And then Saturday, they'll be at Builder's Warehouse with a car wash and a bake sale from 11 to 1. So Wednesday, 5 to 8 at Little Caesars. Friday at Kearney Apple Market from 11 to 1. Saturday, 11 to 1 at Builder's Warehouse. These folks have been helping the team the last few years when they travel to Indianapolis. So help them out with travel and team expenses. They've made our community proud, made it all the way to Williamsport last year. If you get a chance, be sure to do it again. And we'll talk with Coach Kurt Schmidt coming up next week on the Doug and Daddy Show. Mike Babcock, Steve Sipple, Robin Washit with us here. Before we do that, it's Troutman's Tuesday Trivia Time, 888-455-ESPN. 888-455-3776. Nebraska's first five games are at home this year. If you've not won the last 2 months, you are eligible for a $25 gift card from Troutman's. First five games are at home. Who was the last team to beat Nebraska in a home opener. It's been a while. Who was the last team to beat Nebraska in a home opener? If you know the answer, call now. Jeffrey will get you set up. 888-455-3776 with Troutman's Tuesday Trivia. All right, final moments with our three panelists on the roundtable, Robin Washit, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock. Let's get your Nebraska prediction. Let's just keep it on an even keel and say that there's no significant injuries to anybody in the conference, which won't happen, but let's just play the game that way. And, Robin, what are you expecting out of Nebraska in 2013?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, 10-2 is a completely realistic record for this team, you know, just for the way the schedule sets up, 8 home games. You know, I think UCLA and Michigan are the two biggest hurdles, with obviously Northwestern. You know that that's going to be a difficult game no matter what. I think the fact that it's at home helps, and the fact that, you know, after the last few times Nebraska's played them, the Nebraska will not be overlooking them one bit. You know, I think the Penn State game could be difficult because it's on the road, but, you know, I have a feeling that by that point in the season, you know, those starters are going to be worn down because there's absolutely no depth behind them. So I think that's a winnable game for Nebraska. And so I think 10-2 is a legit possibility. You know, I think best case scenario, in my opinion, you know, if might be just be to, you know, go 10-2, have Michigan win the division, and then try and get in that large BCS bowl. That way you don't have to play Ohio State and end up, you know, going back to the Capital One Bowl or something like that. So I think if I were to guess right now, I'd say 10-2 with a possible BCS berth.
Mike, your thoughts, because kind of like Robin said, Nebraska seems to keep having decent regular seasons. They get beat in the championship. They get beat in the bowl game. Then all of a sudden it doesn't seem so good. What do you think about this year?
Well, you know, I agree with Robin. I mean, I wrote down 10-2 regular season. But I go back to something Sip said. You know, if it ends up being all on Taylor, it's not going to be 10-2. I mean, it isn't. And I think that things have to happen on offense to support him as well. And that defense is a significant concern, I think, going into this season. And even if you've got some talent on there, it's got to be an opportunity to develop that talent. So 10-2, but I would put an asterisk by that because, again, if the offense ends up being all on Taylor, it's not going to be 10-2.
Yeah, I surely don't see that happening. I think Abdullah can get the job done, and you got some really good wide receivers lined decent. Sip, what do you think? 10 wins seems like a pretty average. I think Vegas has it 9.5 at the over-under right now for Nebraska. So what do you think?
Well, I think I'm like the other two fellas and a lot of people. 10-2, I would add that there could be a wild 10-2 because I think there'll be games that maybe – are closer than we'd expect because of Nebraska's, you know, problems on defense. For instance, Purdue. I think you could go to Purdue, and even though Purdue has a new coaching staff, they're going to run a whole new offense. I think Purdue might have the type of talent that could give Nebraska a little trouble. On the other hand, I think Nebraska could score 50 points at Purdue and win 50-31, something like that. I think you're going to see a lot of games like that, and there might be some things that are unexpected. For instance, you know, I think one of those losses, I think Northwestern is kind of a thorn in Nebraska's side. That game in Lincoln will be difficult because you know why it'll be difficult, because Northwestern's going to go up and down the field. They have the guys to do it, Kane Colter and Vendrick Mark. And look at those receivers Northwestern has, 6'2", 6'3", 6'5". We watch those guys. They go up and get the ball. They're good players. They don't have a lot of deep threats, but they're good, big, strong receivers. You know what I think? I think you get to Michigan. I mean, I honestly could see a scenario where you lose to Northwestern at home and then beat Michigan. Something like that wouldn't surprise me. So let's say they have one loss going into the last three. Now, you know what it becomes then is, will the young players hold in there? As Mike and Robin know, young players hit a wall sometimes. A lot of times. A lot of times they hit a wall. And now you got Michigan State at home, which isn't, you know, it's a great defense. It's a nasty defense. Like Robin said, you got to go to Penn State, which isn't a great team. It's a tough environment. And then close with your rival Iowa, or your designated rival, or your made-up rival, whatever you want to call it. But those last three games, I think, will be really interesting because I think Nebraska will just have to find a way to hold on. Even if they only have one loss, those last three games, I think, will be rough because the young guys, it's difficult. It's not just a physical battle. It becomes a mental battle, especially if you're in the hunt and there's so much pressure. So I think they get out of the Michigan game with one loss, but let's see how they do those last three games when they eat some.
Sip, you think there's – Bo's now 6 years. Do you think there's any pressure on him? I don't think there is, but you always hear some rumblings of fans that if they're not 12-0 every year, there's a problem. But you think Bo is now comfortable being Nebraska's coach?
You know what? I'm glad you asked it that way. I don't think you ever get too comfortable in this day and age as a head coach. I don't think you can afford to. No, I don't think Bo looks at it that way. I think he's very year-to-year. I don't know that you ever – I don't think he approaches it that way. Now I'm settled in. Because those coaches are aware of what can happen. And they're aware that there's a new boss, okay, that didn't hire him. We all know ADs like to hire their own guys. So, I mean, I'm not saying there's a lot of heat on Bo Pelini, but I'm also not saying that he's settled in here because if they throw a 5-7, all bets are off. And
yeah.
I think that's pretty clear.
All right, last question, then we'll wrap things up here because Carlos Hyde has just been kicked off yesterday of Ohio State's football team. They are the overwhelming favorite. Only one person in the media poll that was unofficially put together that everybody's seen has Ohio State not winning at all. Give me your championship game result. Mike, what do you got? Is it easy Ohio State over Nebraska, or you got something different?
No, I would pick Ohio State, but it's things happen. I mean, there can be head scratchers, as Sip said. Even with Nebraska's schedule, there's going to be head scratchers there. So I'm picking Ohio State as a champion. I mean, I think I would be foolish not to, and I think that Nebraska has a good shot to get in that game. But I don't say it's going to be a cakewalk for Ohio State.
Robin, you got Ohio State, Michigan.
Yeah, you know, I think obviously, you know, Nebraska has an extremely legitimate chance at getting in there, but I think just the way things are going to shake out, I like Michigan's chances of getting in there. I think that just on the defensive side of the ball, they have a little bit more to work with, at least as it seems at this point. But, you know, obviously that's probably going to be a one-game separation between those two teams. But right now, I got to say I like Michigan.
Sip more likely Nebraska goes 12-0 or 6-6.
Oh, I think it's more likely they go 12-0, honestly. And I think they'll get to the Big Ten title game. And then I just don't see how they could beat Ohio State, because I think Ohio State's offense will just overpower Nebraska. I think they can play ball control, and if they want. I mean, I think they can do a lot of different things. Now, on the other hand, Nebraska's offense will be able to do some things against Ohio State. But I just think Ohio State, I mean, their offensive line's good. You know, it was pretty suspect last year. And Braxton Miller. I mean, they're just going to get constant pressure on any defense, let alone a defense that's young in the late stages of the season without a real break for 4 weeks. I just like Ohio State.
Well, we always like chatting with Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, and Robin Washit of Husker Online, taking a good chunk of their day to help us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and of course, let the fans know about Nebraska football in 2013. Gentlemen, thanks for the time, and we'll see you in Chicago, and Mike, we'll see you in Lincoln at the Husker press conference.
Hey, thank you. I'm still writing down notes from Robin and Sip, so.
you can pretty much guarantee that Nebraska's going to win the Big Ten title when I pick Ohio State to win that easily.
Yep, there you go.
Guys, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, right, take care.
That's Mike Babcock of Hale Varsity, Steve Sipple, Lincoln Journal star, Robin Washit of HuskerOnline.com for our preseason look at Nebraska, our annual Husker Roundtable, wrapping up 12 teams in 12 days. And we really appreciate the time that they've given us on the extended interview here today. They're ready for a rest, folks, and we'll help them out. You can help yourself out. Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering is just right for you in Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. In business since 1977 and for 36 years, they've grown to these four locations, and that allows them to compete with the big chains in quantity buying and freight charges, so you'll always get the low price. And just as important, Bruce Furniture maintains that small-town, family-owned business attitude of taking care of each customer individually. Only the best name brands, Lane, Ashley, Lazy Boy, Best Chairs, Serta, Southern Motion, Chromecraft, Tempur-Pedic, and more. Stop by and see them today. Relax, and as we get ready for football season, you want to be in that new recliner. You want to be comfortable with your family in that new living room set. Stop by and see them today, where they deliver free, set up free, and if you've got something to haul away, they'll do that as well. See them online as well, brucefurniture.com, or stop by Bruce Furniture and Floor Covering, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, just right for you. That's going to wrap things up for today's Doug and Daddy Show. We are live in Chicago tomorrow. Mike Will joins me as we talk to a variety of head coaches, assistants, players that are on hand, and members of the media from out throughout the nation and throughout the Big Ten Conference. We'll be in Chicago for extended shows, 11 to 1 on Wednesday and Thursday, maybe even a little longer when the Huskers roll in tomorrow as well. So be with us live from Chicago, and we want to thank all of our fine sponsors like Bruce Furniture, like Gary Michaels Clothiers, and so many more Midway Auto Dealerships for allowing us to bring you all of the action from Big Ten Media Days. Again, a big thank you to Mike Babcock, also to Steve Sipple, and of course to Robin Washit. For our producer engineer Jeff Babel, I'm Doug Duda. Have a great rest of the day. We'll talk to you from Chicago tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.